Welcome to Manager Tools. This is Sarah.
And this is Kate.
Today's cast, The Hidden Purpose of Interviewing, External Validation, Part 2 of 2.
The questions this cast answers are, what is the purpose of effective interviews? Why should everyone go through the same interviewing process? And how can I increase new hires' effectiveness through the interviewing process?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Before we get too deep into it, we'd like to invite you to join us on our upcoming Executive Speaker Series call, May 14th, as co-CEOs Danny and Byron share their decade-long journey of building a $20 million business together, how they've made a close professional relationship work over such a large period of time, and the key decisions they made along the way, and why, including notes about their catastrophic failures. All Executive Tools licensees are invited. Become an Executive Tools licensee today to receive your invitation.
Now we're going to start going through fair, known, challenging, and respectful, starting with your interview process must be fair. So now we know what an effective hiring process must do, but how do we actually create one? Well, the first component of an effective process is fairness. And by fairness, we mean the old-fashioned definition of fairness. There are rules and everyone plays by the exact same rules.
Mm-hmm. Your process, right? It's yours, not the organization's yet. Should be applied equally to both candidates and interviewers. This means every candidate gets fully interviewed using the same process. Totally unlike the example of the director's friend we mentioned earlier. External and internal candidates go through the same exact process. Even internal candidates coming to a new team in their existing company will want the conferred trust of a full and fair process if they get the job. So if it's somebody moving departments, if it's somebody coming in from outside, both. Same thing. Same process. Also, it makes it so much easier if you go through the same process every time for you, just from the perspective of knowing what you're doing, not having to ask questions, being able to repeat it. I mean, honestly, once you do the same thing over and over again, it starts to be routine in ways that allow you to A, do it without thinking about the process, and B, get better at it.
Yeah, get better at it. Find efficiencies, improve. I mean, there are, without a process, without the ability to replicate it, you can't possibly make it better.
Yeah, because you don't know what parts are helpful, right?
Yeah.
Because it changes every time. Also, I know people are interested in getting new hires up to speed quickly. There are places in your process where you can do this more quickly, and they are not the parts that people generally choose to shorten. Like, you got to think about what the purpose is. Okay, but going back to the process, no one, like actually no one, gets a pass for any part of the process, ever.
And that's part of fairness, folks, and external validation.
Right.
Neither the CEO's recommended candidate nor your number two get a pass on the process. Imagine the impressed look on your CEO's face when you tell them, oh, no, I won't not interview your friend or briefly interview your friend. Everybody here goes through the exact same process. I have no doubt your referral is capable of the role and probably the most capable for the role, frankly. But I wouldn't want to rob this person of going through the process. I want him to see how he will be interviewing other people when he starts working here. I want him to get the opportunity to impress several of the folks who are already on the team, not just based on your referral, but because of his competence. And I want him to benefit from the trust he'll be building with everyone, including me, before he even starts, so that his ramp up will be that much faster.
That will impress any executive who's smart.
Exactly. It shows you're professional. It shows this is important, that you're taking serious. Going back to what we were talking about at the beginning, the fact that this is the most important strategic contribution you can make to your organization, you got to take it seriously.
Yeah. So the interviewing team must follow the process you've taught them. No going rogue, no questions about trees. Everybody follows the same interview template. Effective interviewers do not compare candidates to each other, but to the standard of the job, which that's the purpose of detailed behavioral interview questions. Everyone in the process must take detailed notes of what the candidate says, listening for behavior and the behaviors they've used in their previous experiences. Interviewers must also make a decision by the end of the interview. Interviews are not a chat to get to know each other. They're a decision-making process.
Mm-hmm.
Then after the interview, the day, right, interviewers are required to make hire, not hire recommendations to a committee, which we call the interview results capture meeting, which some of our friends call the defending the culture meeting. Love it. They're also required, interviewers are also required to support the recommendation that they bring to the meeting with examples, behaviors, experiences that they uncovered or heard about during the interview.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it, folks. All of these sub-processes and, again, your interview process support a fair decision. Candidates who are treated fairly and know they have a reasonable and equal chance of an offer are more likely to accept offers that come out of this process. And candidates that don't receive offers will believe they were treated fairly even if they're declined. Folks, our data shows both groups, hired and not hired, come away from such fair processes feeling better about your organization. Candidates who feel the process is unfair, on the other hand, come away with unfavorable opinions of your organization. That means fewer offers accepted and declined candidates telling their friends of the less than fair and unprofessional experience they had with you and your company. And obviously, a fair process sends a message that concerns regarding lack of diversity and equity in the hiring process are unwarranted. And if your organization is one where you have to worry about individuals suing you for unfair hiring practices, the best way to prevent that is fair hiring practices. So start there.
Yeah, it's a good place. And if you're wondering, okay, what should the process actually be in detail? You can learn our data-driven approach at our Effective Hiring Manager conference. As well, the Hiring Node in the Map of the Universe has over 100 podcasts on all aspects of the hiring process. If you're a licensee, you can click at the bottom of these show notes to see all the casts that are in that topic and then also see them as organized, categorized into relevant subtopics since you might be looking for something specific. So you don't have to listen to all 100 podcasts if you're only looking for part of it. So if you need learning on this, we've got that. So process is fair. Got it. The process also has to be known. Second, to being fair, an effective hiring process that creates external validation and confers internal trust to hired candidates must be known and understood by all involved. If some people have questions about the process, they're not going to trust it. There can't be backroom deals. There can't be fake interviews or favoritism for reasons beyond the scope of the job's requirements. Sure, if the favoritism comes from this person has done this job for many, many, many years in another organization. Okay, that's our favorite. But that's not the kind of favoritism we're talking about here.
Right, exactly.
It means that you have to communicate. You have to tell every candidate, and I would suggest even all of your internal people, it's got to be like documented. It's got to be put out there. The communication about the process is crucial. Every interviewer in our process is instructed to explain how they're going to interview at every step of the way to the candidate such that the candidate feels they know everything that's coming, all the steps involved, which means the interviewers have to know it too. So you do have to teach your directs and the other people on the team how you're going to do it. You can't just do it yourself. You can't use your own process. Again, it has to be your group's rather than your personal style.
Yeah, you definitely have to share it with the others. That's the thing. You can't ensure a successful hiring process if it's not one that you have data on, one that you can teach, one that you can replicate. You can't improve. I'm sure we said this earlier. You can't improve a process that changes every single time you employ your process. So yeah, if you're interested in interview overview statement, it's kind of that the interviewers explaining to candidates being told about screening processes, candidates will be told about whom they're going to be interviewed by.
Mm-hmm.
And those interviewers will generally be the same for all of your candidates. Generally, in our process, we recommend hiring manager, and then a handful, if you will, of the peers of the role for which you're reporting. And they'll also be told that every candidate will be evaluated against the job's requirements versus each other.
Yeah, not each other, but can they do the job? And everyone on your team and in your organization must know what the process is. I said this a minute ago. Everybody has to know. Your directs, yourself, maybe your peers. This helps those who are going to interview in the future know the standards that they're expected to meet. And again, if people know the process, it confers trust to the higher candidates beyond the interviewers to everyone on your team and in your organization. And I am a perfect example of this. As a person who was hired, who maybe there was some assumption that I was hired for reasons other than skills, the fact that I went through what I think it was like 10 hours of phone interviews and then a full in-person 8-hour day. Well, I guess that leads to our next point, that the process must be challenging.
Yeah, exactly. The process must be challenging. For everyone, exactly. We covered fair, we covered known. Now we're talking about challenging. And folks, there's nothing wrong and frankly, everything right with conducting challenging interviews. You have to have high standards for your people, and you cannot maintain these high standards without bringing in new people that have met your high hiring criteria.
Right.
So what does challenging mean? Well, I think it's easier if we start with what challenging is not, what it does not mean. Challenging does not mean adding additional stressful situations beyond the normal stress that already exists, let's face it, in interviews. You do not make people wait to see what they might do. You don't intentionally change the schedule just to see how they're going to handle the situation. You don't create artificial stress by asking to solve problems that you know are unsolvable.
So mean.
How many ping pong balls can you fit in a 747?
Well, that is solvable.
It is solvable, but in an interview by the general person?
No, yeah, fair.
No, not fair. Exactly. And I've found in working with a lot of managers hiring or interviewing, talking about interviewing, a lot of managers seem surprised when we say to them, interviews oughtn't be a stress test.
Mm, yeah.
They should be challenging, but you're not trying to trick them. Like, you're not trying to stress an already stressed out person.
Yeah, they're already stressed, right? That's the other thing.
Exactly.
We also don't suggest that the interviewers adopt a negative tone during an interview. And we are going to talk about respectfulness, so we'll come back to this. It doesn't mean stone-faced interviewers. Challenging doesn't mean, you know, presenting a negative countenance or tonality or like personality even. Because a professional workplace is still a cordial one, a nice one where people are polite and nice to each other. And you can ask challenging questions while still being pleasant. You can smile and be polite. You should, please, y'all, interviewers should not create fake disagreements to test calmness in a candidate. Interviewers should not ask impossible to answer questions. Stress handling abilities of the candidates can be reasonably assessed by the quality of their previous work and the stresses that can be reasonably inferred by knowledge of the interviewers of the work that this person was doing before. If you're interviewing a person with experience in your area and you're asking questions about their previous experiences, you should be able to assess how stressful those situations are.
Yeah, how stressful do you think the situation would have been to have gone through, folks? You can do that.
Yeah, if you hear their answer and assess it to be true of how they handled the situation, a fair representation of what they did in response to that situation, that's how we assess a person's ability to handle stress.
Yeah.
Because their job here with you isn't going to be stressed out in interviews, handling stress in interviews. It's handling stress in situations at your job, which is not interviewing. I mean, okay, I guess there are some jobs, but 99% of them, that's not the job. Interviewing is not the job. We don't need to test how they handle stress in interviews. We need to test how they handle stress in project management, how they handle stress in board meetings, how they handle stress in coding situations where there's a line that's broken.
Right.
That's a bad example.
High value customers. But yeah, there's all sorts of other real situations they might have to go through that will be stressful. This just probably isn't one of them. And folks, if you don't believe us, if you're still like, yeah, I get it, but I still think that I should create an interview process where folks are stressed out. Know that there's ample data that stress-based techniques fail not only to bring out the best in people, they bring out the worst in people. There's enough stress for candidates in every interview that extra stresses need not be manufactured to determine a candidate's capability to handle it. And what's more, our data shows that candidates who feel stress are also much less likely to accept offers when those offers are given. And candidates who are declined leave with a less than favorable impression of your company, which likely causes them not to apply again and also tell their friends what jerks you are. And anyone who made it to an interview that's close, maybe not perfect enough to get an offer, but close enough, has friends with similar capabilities. And adding stress poisons your candidate pool.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I've been telling a story for years about an interview process I went through that I used to think was just handled incompetently. Like I was left in a conference room for a while and I couldn't get out because of the secure facility and they had taken my phone, again, secure facility, and I couldn't dial out on the phone that was in the conference room. Now I'm wondering if they did it to see what I would do.
Oh, so at first you thought it wasn't just general incompetence, but now you're starting to think maybe it was a test.
Yeah, and for years, I mean, this was 12 years ago. I've just assumed that it was, hey, we don't have enough people assigned to this situation today, and so we're going to hand her off to somebody, and then she'll get left in a conference room on accident, right? I assume it was an accident. Now I'm wondering if they did it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was crazy. I couldn't get out. I will say the one part of that interview that was good was that they had me do math.
Like on a whiteboard?
Yeah. That part was good. And that's like part of a challenging interview, right? Setting high standards for competence and skills. The questions should be challenging. It's entirely possible that a candidate could get an offer. And even in the process, they didn't handle a question well. They could have done really well with the other questions. We're not going to apologize for challenging questions. The job is going to be challenging. Why wouldn't we understand their ability to handle challenges? We should go back, by the way. The job that locked me in the conference room and left me there, they offered me the job and I said no, just for clarity. So that's part of why it came up in my mind, was that if they were trying to just stress me out, it didn't work, because what I just assumed is that they couldn't remember that they'd brought in a candidate and that they abandoned me. And so I decided that they probably weren't a place I wanted to work.
Exactly. Yeah. Which just further solidifies that you might have a really great candidate and you go through all that stress and all that work as an organization to bring them in, and you make them an offer and they say, nah, I don't want to work there.
I don't want to work here. Although you're welcome, y'all, because if I had accepted that job, I would not be sitting here today. So there's that.
Exactly. So thank you for locking Kate in a conference room. No. Okay.
Irony is, now I spend so much time in conference rooms.
I know, right? Exactly.
They locked me in there and I was like, this is a great place to be. I will stay in conference rooms forever now. I just loved it so much.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't want to do math while I was locked in there. Anyways, so we like challenging. We don't like manufactured stress.
Exactly. Folks, we can push our candidates for more information about specific behaviors we're looking for. They're going to answer. What's common of candidates answering questions is they give you a very high-level synopsis of a situation. And most of us don't speak in behavioral form, rather preferring characterizations to specifics. So for instance, while it would be completely natural in a normal conversation, a non-interview, to say to another individual, we communicated about the issue, that's not specific enough an answer for a behavioral interview. The effective interviewer, we would suggest, interject and say, I'm sorry, could you go back? What do you mean? Or what did you actually do when you communicated?
Mm-hmm.
Because again, we're trying to take that data and assess whether or not they will fit into the culture and other factors that exist within our organization.
Right. They might say, oh, I sent an email. Or I had a face-to-face conversation. If your organization's culture is that we have face-to-face conversations about issues, like, for example, maybe a direct didn't perform and...
Don't send nasty grams.
Right. So we wouldn't, in this organization, we wouldn't send an email. And so if they said, oh, I sent an email, we might say, ooh, I don't know if that's the right thing.
It's just data to us to help us assess the candidate in our situation.
Right. And that could be seen as challenging their answer. And that's perfectly fine. We're asking questions about what they did because we expect that what they did predicts what they're going to do in this job.
Yeah, that's exactly it. The single biggest predictor of an individual's future behavior is their past behavior. That's why we're asking these questions.
We have very little else to go on, frankly.
Exactly. And folks, the same is true for what we might call future state answers, right? So the interviewer asks something like, tell me about a time when you had to make a tough decision. And the candidate says something to the effect of, well, my approach to tough decisions is to break them down into component parts. I like to think through all my options. And that sounds fine. I mean, at first blush, it sounds reasonable. But what we would suggest is the interviewer needs to probe there. Because the interviewer did not ask for the candidate's theoretical approach to tough decision making. Rather, they asked for an example of. So the interviewer might probe with something to the effect of, I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's really not what I asked. I asked for a past situation about a tough decision.
Right. I want to hear a real scenario.
Yeah. Example.
Yeah. Scenario is the wrong word, right? I want to hear what happened. And hopefully that's happened to you.
Yeah. And that helps us assess experience, right? It helps us assess, again, what they're most likely to do in the future.
And the reason we're pointing this out, y'all, is because this type of questioning, candidates feel challenged when this happens.
Yes.
The effective interviewer, though, doesn't give the candidate a pass on feeling challenged. We're not going to say, oh, we don't want you to feel challenged. If you give them credit for a misaligned answer, you are saying, I don't want to challenge them. That's a frequent dodge of unprepared, unqualified candidates, and it's a rookie mistake. Challenging such an answer is the job of the effective interviewer. And again, we're asking hard questions, and we're asking them to give us good answers, solid answers, and that could be seen as challenging. Truly, also, effective interview processes are challenging because challenges spread the candidate field. If you give a bunch of high schoolers a third grade test, they all get 100. But if you get a senior in high school and you give them a college freshman level test to take, hey, you get a wide range of scores, including some failures. And that's what we want our interviewing process to be like. That's what effective interviewing looks like. Providing a reasonable challenge to highlight the differences between candidates. Starting May 28th at 10 a.m. Eastern, we're hosting our newest public conference event, the Virtual Effective Senior Manager Conference, delivered in 4 sessions over 2 weeks on Zoom. We're going to cover Team 1, Organizational Management, Executive Systems, and Executive Reach.
If you've been to the Effective Manager and you need the tools for the next level, this is your event. Register for this event at manager-tools.com/training. Now, back to the show.
All right, so that takes us through to now respect, the last piece of our guidance. And folks, while interviewing is not a two-way street, and if you're more interested in that topic, we have a podcast all about it, both the organization and the candidate are drawing conclusions the entire time about one another. But too many organizations act as if they are in charge of this process, which leads to arrogance and disrespectful behavior toward candidates. After all, there's only one job, but there are many, many candidates. And clearly, the hiring organization has the upper hand. They get to say yes or no. They hold all the cards.
Ugh.
And so they laud it over candidates.
And it's not even really true. Like, you could say yes to them and they could say no to you. It's short-sighted, misguided. It's rude. It's arrogant and disrespectful. And it takes all kinds of forms when that is the underlying assumption. Not returning phone calls or emails promptly is one of the ways that this plays out. Being brusque when, you know, being asked about logistics, having like a stony-faced interview demeanor intentionally, separate from the interviewer's natural kind of like facial expression, body language. The way this happened to me is I went to interview at an organization and it was on a Friday in Arizona. And I say that because you should take into consideration that it was also July in Arizona. And it was clear that they had not warned people that they needed interviewers for this panel, by the way, because half the panel was in Hawaiian shirts and shorts and flip-flops, and the other half was in suits. And so it's like, these guys came to the interview like, this isn't a big deal. Like, we're going to interview this girl and it's going to be fine and, you know, whatever. And I'm in a suit and it is boilingly hot. And I didn't buy like a, it was a skirt, right? I didn't wear pants, but all of my suits at the time were from Brooks Brothers. They were like lightweight wool, so they wouldn't wrinkle and be horrible. I was dying. I'd also hurt my foot. It was in like a ACE bandage to make my foot, which was swollen, small enough to fit in my work shoe, like in a loafer. And these guys, I mean, honestly, I was a little jealous. They looked really comfortable. They weren't listening either, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is a thing. People dismiss the candidate, or they dismiss the questions that the candidate asks during the interview. Not cool.
Exactly. Not greeting candidates with smiles and handshakes, right? Things like that. Asking suddenly in the middle of an interview, what's my first name?
Dude, it's always Dave or John or Steve. Like, calm down.
Yeah, exactly. Disagreeing with an answer to an interview question. There's all kinds of unnecessary, unprofessional behaviors. And folks, if you don't think that this happens, or you don't think your organization is prone to this, it certainly happens in, I'm going to say, climates like now. There are a lot of people looking for jobs. And the more you work in an organization or during a time, I suppose, where there are lots of people looking for jobs, and you hold the one job that's available for all of those candidates, the more prone you are to falling into these kinds of behaviors. So watch for it. As interviewers, learn how to interject politely when you need more information from a candidate's answer. Probing for more details is conversationally completely normal and totally understood by candidates. But your interjection should always be preceded by an apology for the interruption. Like, I'm so sorry. Can you go back a minute? Like, doing it nicely, having a nice tone with a smile on your face, not, hey, go back a second. That's not respectful.
Yeah, this is so important that if you've got somebody on your team, like a seasoned veteran member who is also gruff and unfriendly, you might consider that they are not part of the slate of interviewer, like interviewee that are on the process. Like, you might just think to yourself, you know, we really need everybody to work hard to be polite and things like that. And somebody who's just kind of, oh, that's who I am, they don't get to just be themselves at the expense of the candidate's experience or the process, or because it's the reputation of the company. Like, they're going to go out there
and tell people. Oh, yeah. Everybody there was jerks. They were all like really, they were all wearing Hawaiian shirts and they locked me in a conference room. Two different interviews.
Yeah. That's exactly
the conference room and the Hawaiian shirts were different interviews. I want to be really clear. Different interviews, different places. The Hawaiian shirts were in Arizona. The conference room was in LA.
Learn the lesson Kate is teaching you now. You don't want to be one of those companies that we throw under the bus in a podcast. You don't. So don't be that guy. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Folks, the reason for all this respect, well, there's two reasons really. But the first one is because you run a respectful workplace. And it makes no sense to send a different message to a candidate in an interview. And second, because being respectful to your candidates increases your offer acceptance rate. And going back to the very first thing you said, Kate, people gripe about how much time they're spending trying to assess and hire and interview good people for a role. To do all of that then, and make an offer, and that person turns you down because you guys were jerks? Ugh. Seriously?
Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah. You've created a horrible situation for yourself. So when it comes to the interview process, we borrow and modify slightly the beautiful and famous motto of the Ritz-Carlton hotel chain. We are, ladies and gentlemen, interviewing ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, theirs is, we are, ladies and gentlemen, serving ladies and gentlemen. It's so nice. So we've stolen it because we love it so much. Y'all, interviews are about selecting the right candidate. And they're also about conferring trust onto the hired candidate so that they will reach full productivity sooner, more quickly. Shortcutting the process only lengthens the longer road to high performance. And the way you achieve external validation is a fair, known, challenging, and respectful hiring process.
Yes, it is.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
We'll be back next week with a new topic.